Hi, I'm Beck Keogh and welcome to Edulate. Today, we'll be having a coffee with Dr. Sandy Nichols. She's a university lecturer with the University of Newcastle. We can't wait to hear about her journey. Welcome, Sandy.
Thank you for inviting me along to Edulate. I think it's an awesome idea.
I'm wondering if you'd share a bit about your role.
So people say to me, what do you do? And it's a hard thing to explain, but I think probably the best way to explain my job is I'm actually a classroom teacher at university. I love working in the trenches. So predominantly my job is in tutorials. And I'm very honoured that I get to work with predominantly primary pre-service teachers, but also early career and secondary pre-service teachers. And I'm fortunate to be able to walk with them as they learn the craft of teaching. I mean, it's I call it the nursery of teaching. And I'm very honoured to sit and watch, for example, this semester. So the beginning of the semester, we were saying, you've got professional experience coming up, you know, in June. We need to really think about that and unpack that a lot in tutorials. And at first, they're going, oh, you know, like, actually, they didn't even want to talk about it. But definitely the last probably 2 weeks has been a huge shift in mindset, because now they're actually teaching their own mini lessons in tutorials, and they're actually doing their own teaching and thinking about how they want to teach and so on. And for me, it's been just so rewarding to watch them succeed with their ideas of teaching. And then some of them, for example, if it's not quite working how they want in the class, they actually change on the spot, which I really encourage.
Very lucky uni students indeed. Sandy, can you tell us a bit about how you got into education and a bit about your journey?
Sure, Beck. Yeah, I've had an interesting journey. I'm classed as a career changer. So I was a registered nurse before I moved into teaching. Long story short, I had a car accident, so I couldn't actually physically lift patients anymore. And I was doing oncology nursing at the time, so I actually was helping people to die in their homes. But in my early 20s, I was very passionate about that. But the injury meant that I had to rethink, well, what was I going to do in terms of my life? And I've always loved kids. I've always loved actually playing. I still play a lot now. And I like seeing people succeed. So for me, I think teaching's perfect for that, because you get to see people succeed. So I trained and I worked full-time as a nurse while I did my teaching degree. So that was quite hard. So I might be doing like a night shift and then come to lectures the next day. But me being me, I was quite determined. I had made my mind up. So because I was doing light duty jobs, I couldn't actually do the heavy work anymore. So yeah, I was fortunate to be targeted upon graduation, which was actually a big shock. but I think my passion shone through my interview with the department. And I was placed in Mount Druitt, and what is called a hard-to-place school, which for me doesn't really make sense because I didn't find it hard to place. I loved it. And I taught there for 8 years. And then so from there, I moved to the Ryde District because my kids came along, and it was just quite hard trying to travel and manage everything. So I was lucky because in those days you got points where you taught, and I had a lot of points. And so my points pretty much guaranteed a good what they call a good school. For me, a good school was Mount Druitt, but I just found the driving was very hard for me with two babies and so on. So, yeah, the Ryde District, I taught in there for 7 years, and it was a delight.
What a completely different environment, Sandy.
Completely different. The whole dynamic was different. The whole idea of not having four or five teachers on one stage anymore. I was put on, my first year I was put on year four, and then the year after I was put on a 2-3, and I was the only one on 2-3. So it was like, oh, okay, I've got no one else to rely upon. So that taught a lot of self-resilience for myself. And just the whole idea of being in a small community where there were so few students, you got to know everyone. And it was beautiful because I had this homely feel about it. So I've taken a lot of really good things from both experiences. So then I ended up doing my master's at university because I wanted to change. I sort of had been doing acting roles of assistant principal and so on. But I don't know, management's not real. I mean, I don't mind managing people and helping people, but I do like that earthiness of being in the trenches of teaching.
But there's a really important part of your journey you're not sharing, Sandy. What about your further training that you've just completed this year? It's fascinating.
arts. Oh, I've got a PhD apparently. So I've just nearly got that. So I know, I always forget about that part. So I actually met with pre-service teachers for 2 years and listened to their stories on how they learned to teach, really. So they told me, so I chose a methodology called narrative inquiry, which means you just sit and listen over a cup of tea, which is what we're pretty much doing now, or that's coffee today. I was very privileged to watch them, just like I am now, before they go on prac, all the nerves, and then the 2 years of journey of learning and then graduating. So that's me, I think, in a nutshell, Beck.
I know we were chatting before, hand Sandy, and we were talking about how when we come into education with other experiences, it can really enrich our teaching and learning experiences.
I think very much so. I think, I was saying to Beck, I'm fortunate, I'm tutoring with people who are career changers. So that's another unit that started this week. And I find it a privilege to work with people who have come from a different profession. They have a different mindset. So people who come from school have a wonderful mindset of enthusiasm and a desire to learn. And I think that's a really important skill set to have. But I also think an important skill set to have is different thinking and different ways of being and understanding the world. So I really try to embrace all types of people that come to university, because I do think really our classrooms are the mini world. Well, our mini world is pretty much, when you look at it, we all have a huge diversity. We all have very different religious faiths and you name it, everything, economics, you name it. So for me, I think that's where teaching should encourage people with that mixed, you know, mixed gender orientation, for example, mixed experiences in life and so on. Because in the end, I think we, as a collective community, teachers offer so much. And part of our strength is what we all bring to teaching.
Definitely. Definitely. Sandy, it's teaching is all about how we teach. And I'm keen to hear about, I know you've got many things that you love and many approaches. And obviously being, a tertiary educator, somebody who walks alongside teachers before they enter the classroom, pedagogy would be something that would be, you know, really important to you, and establishing pedagogy or supporting people to understand pedagogy. But what kind of pedagogy really floats your boat? What do you love?
It was an interesting question you asked me that, because I thought, to be honest, I actually don't really tend to think about what floats my boat, because I'm trying to float other boats. So I love that. So in my PhD, I read about a framework called the Quality Teaching Framework, and it has 18 elements in it. And it actually comes from the University of Newcastle, and Jenny Gore and James Ladwick are probably the best known researchers involved in it. And so for me, the very simplistic definition of pedagogy has always resonated with me, which is the art and science of teaching. And that's so for me, because the art is your flair, your style, but the science is there are things that actually do know through research that work more than others, all right? So hence my PhD actually was based on that quality teaching framework, and in particular, the element of engagement. So in terms of pedagogy, from that point of view, I like all types of pedagogy, because it's more for me about the students and what they need at the time and what actually floats their boat. Because I've taught for so long, I can embrace and model and sort of guide people's ways to work out why you want to do this type of pedagogy for this reason and so on. Because there's a place, I think, for all types of pedagogy. There's a place for explicit teaching, for example, and inquiry. But my heart sits with play. So even before I really understood as much as what I did now, even as when I think about my own childhood and what I liked, I've always liked that notion of five sensory play. I've always liked that idea of feeling, hearing, tasting, touching. And as I've taught, I can even remember when I was an undergraduate student writing assignments on it, having no idea why I liked it, except for I just liked it. And now as I've read more and more research and I've gotten in contact with people like Marilyn Fleer, I just go, oh, wow. So there is a science behind it. But in my PhD, I chose Dewey as my theorist. I found it really hard. So I read like Foucault and Vygotsky and Dewey and, oh, you name it, I read them. And I couldn't decide because there were so many amazing theorists. But in the end, I went with Dewey because basically he talks about we live in a lived experience world and so on. And what I really loved, this is what really drew me in, was this idea that teachers learn at the same time as students. So, and he and constantly talked about, and this is like 1918, he was talking about this. I mean, what a visionary. And he said, we as teachers need to model pedagogy and that we are learners at the same time. So even now today in tutorials, so if any of my students are listening to me, they'll know, I actually go into tutorials where I don't know the answer to a problem or I don't know the answer to things. And I do it on purpose because I want to model to them that they cannot see me as the gatekeeper. I am not the person that knows everything. If anything, I know very small amount compared to what we could all know. And the whole idea is if we all come together with our knowledge together, imagine how much bigger our basis can be.
There's nothing better than learning alongside your students, Sandy. I'm wondering if you might take a moment to talk us through an opportunity or a place in your teaching and learning experience where you've actually put that into practice, something where you've gone, you know what, I'm in the moment and this is where it's at.
So the story I want to share with you today is actually more about a school that I was at just before COVID. I went to a school as a casual teacher. It's lovely. It's fantastic. I think that I was with Steffi listening to her, and I think it was fantastic because you did feel like you knew that person. And then when you actually got to hear them talk and then do the Zoom, I think it was fantastic. So I would strongly encourage you to keep going because you're a little light shining and that's important. So it's really important. And like all the names you've mentioned, I just go, yeah, wow. Because that's what I love about Twitter. I didn't think Twitter was going to be as good as it is. I don't know, because it's fast paced. And I wasn't sure how do you keep up? And I still get it wrong. I still struggle. I still make lots of mistakes on it constantly. But that's my life. If you actually know me and if I've tutored you, you'll know, oh, yeah, Sandy will tell you all the mistakes she's made because that's how she's learned. So, and I do. I tell them all my errors and they love it because I'm honest. Because why would you say that you're perfect at everything?
No point. I made a mistake in my classroom the other day. I had a little fellow who kind of wasn't on the ball. He'd had a rough weekend and he, you know, when you kind of got your eye on that student wondering when it's going to happen, I had my eye on him kind of just trying to keep him ready to roll and calm and in the learning zone, etc. So I had my eye on him anyway. I'm modelling five-digit subtraction. I'm modelling away on the board and I'm talking about this notion of rounding, you know, thinking about estimating and rounding, and so I'm rounding this and doing that and keeping my eye on this kid. And anyway, after the lesson, this little girl came up and she said, Mrs. Keogh. I said, yes, mate, what is it? She said, you know how you rounded that number to 12,000? I said, yes. She said, I think you meant 13,000. I said, oh, you're right. You are absolutely right.
I love it.
Thank you. Thank you for sharing that with me because that's how we learn together. I value the fact that you had the confidence to come and tell me that I had made a mistake because guess what? I'm just human, just like you. And she said, yes, yep. We know mistakes mean that you're learning, Mrs. Keogh.
Love it. So your teaching's working. That's like, seriously, we want kids in kindy to be risk takers. We say the way you learn is being from your mistakes. But we as teachers don't want to say that we make mistakes. It doesn't make sense because we all make mistakes. Yep. Have a look at my tweets now. I make typos all the time.
I read back some of mine and go, oh, wow, Twitter, please get an editing tool. I need to just edit that. Whoops-a-daisy.
So, I refuse to delete them because that's life. We are human. And, like, I'm a perfectionist. Like, when I'm doing an assignment or something like that where I'm marking or whatever, I know the idea of high expectations, but and I have that with my students. Yeah. But we are all human. Yep. We are all human. Yep. So,
I thought about it though, and the next day I thought, you know what? I'm actually going to own this and confess to the whole class because I've got to what that little boy that I keep my eye on. The more and more I watch him, the more and more I think he has anxiety from perfectionism.
Yeah.
And I'm just trying to put this puzzle. He's a very complex puzzle. I love working with him. He just Anyway, he's multifaceted and he's fascinating. Anyway, I thought, no, you know what? I've got him and I've got a little girl who literally nearly cries when it's time to think mathematically. Like, literally, this little girl is But she's better now. We are making progress, and I keep telling her that and affirming that. And I say, have you had growth? Good. If you think you've had growth, go and get my Green for Growth stamp right now. I want a Green for Growth stamp on your page. If you think you've made growth. But even now, she's still, the other day, we were doing it a ride it and chin it exercise. So they were on boards and, you know, they were working out addition algorithms, and it was just a 3-minute challenge. Anyway, she chinned it, and there were three of them, and they all sit together, and then that's not their strength, but we're in the learning pit together about this. Anyway, she's chinning it and she's looking from left to right, and I've popped the answers on the board, and she's gone, oh. Like, you can just see her go, oh, I got it. I said, excuse me. Have you just had growth? And she goes, I don't know. And the little girl next to her, who's in the same boat as her, but a little more confident, is okay with mistakes. She goes, she looks around a board and she goes, yes, I think you've had growth. She's telling her that she thinks she's, I thought,
that's beautiful. Yeah. That is beautiful. I mean, like, we know the anxiety rates for kids after COVID are frightening.
Yep.
So, and you know, like, I'm very fortunate where I work, I get to see research, and we know that academically kids have not fallen behind last year with COVID, but the anxiety is great. Really intriguing.
Thank you so much, Sandy. Your vast experience and your wealth of knowledge and your oozing passion has been just so amazing to listen to. I know we could have talked for hours and hours and hours on end. But thank you for joining in with us. For those of you who are listening in, Dr. Sandy will be joining us for a professional learning on Zoom very shortly. If you check the Twitter page or the Facebook page or follow us on Instagram, you will be able to find out when and where to learn a little bit more with Dr. Sandy Nichols. Sandy, thank you so much.
Thank you for inviting me along to Edulatte.
Thanks for joining us on this drive-through experience on Edulatte. If you're interested in some professional learning, have a look at ICTE Solutions, particularly for early childhood and primary school educators interested in authentic tech integration in the classroom environment. Michael Helkemeyer offers this learning, and he's an Australian educator. I highly recommend you checking out what Michael has to offer. I'm Bec Keogh. And thanks for listening in.